Well, good morning. Well, it's good to see you all this Lord's Day. It's good to be able to worship the Lord together. We're going through a series. If you've been with us for some time, you know we've been going through a series this year called Running the Race. And presently, we're in the middle of a series called The Rocky Road of Reality, where we're looking at the life of Joseph. And today, we're looking in Genesis chapter 40 here in just a few minutes as we find him in prison. And as we pick up in the study of Joseph, we see that remember that he had been thrown in a pit by his brothers. Then he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. While there as a slave to Potiphar, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And now at the end of 39 and end of 40, we find that he is in prison. Now what we know apparently is that Joseph spent years in prison. But of all the years that he spent in prison, this is the only event that is recorded of what took place while he was in prison. And the reason is because it is what led to his ultimate release from the prison and to the palace. But Joseph, while he's in prison, doesn't know that, of course, but he does know something. Or better yet, he knows someone. And because of that, we learn something from Joseph's prison experience. And so maybe we're asking, okay, how can this apply to us? Well, let's see as we look at the Word of God together. So, if you're able, in honor and reverence to the Word of God, if you'd please stand as I read for us today, Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 23, a familiar passage, I'm sure, as we come to see Joseph in the prison. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. And they continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. And so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" And they said to him, "We've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." And so the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it's well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray that we would take this passage now, apply it to our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ, to knowing who we are and what we have in you. We pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us and convict us, Lord, where we need that to happen in our lives as those who are disciples. For those of us who may not know you as Lord and Savior, who do not have a relationship with you, who are not in love with you, I pray that this would be the hour where you call them to yourself and they would respond and know you as Lord and Savior of their lives. May you have your way in all of our hearts, whether we're in-house here today or following online. Lord, may you have your way in every heart and every life, we pray. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, man, as we come to the end of that passage in Genesis chapter 40, it just doesn't end like we want it to. It doesn't end like we think it should even. But as we take a close look at that passage, here's what we want you to understand, is that Joseph is not free from prison, but he is free in prison. Come on now. So let me say that again and you can mark it down, all right? Joseph is not free from prison, but he is free in prison. See, we hear this story about Joseph in prison, and it's a passage about somebody who's in prison. And maybe you think, okay, well, good, Pastor, I have plenty of work I can do on my phone while I'm listening to you today. So this really doesn't apply to me. I can just tune you out. I can make my grocery list or cut my fingernails right now. No, that's not the case, all right? Maybe you aren't in a literal prison. Maybe we aren't in a literal prison, but in a way, we all are. Now, hear me now. What is prison? What is a prison? Well, everyone there in prison is guilty. Very few think they are. There's wickedness and evil that abound in prison. People are dealing with the consequences of their crime. And in prison, a penalty must be paid before freedom can come. And it isn't home, right? Now, you see where I'm going with this? We live in a place today where wickedness and evil abound. And the consequences of sin are all around us in this broken world. There is pain, there's difficulty, there's suffering, and there is struggle all around us. And a penalty must be paid in order to be free. And it is not home. So in other words, friends, we are not home yet as disciples of Jesus Christ. But while we are prisoners in this thing called a world, we are free in and through Christ Jesus. And so Joseph, a child of God, was free in prison, and it was apparent as we look at this passage of Scripture. The question is it apparent to other people that you are free in this prison of this world? Well, let's look at it, all right? Joseph wasn't free from prison, but he was free in prison. And the first point is that he was free of animosity. He was free of animosity. Now, let's just think about our world today. Have mercy. We live today in such a culture of anger and animosity. All around us, this world is filled with hatred and bitterness. Man, you can't even have a different opinion without being criticized or ostracized or humiliated or raked over the coals. And then when we put forth our opinion and that happens to us, what is it that we want to do? We want to go back at you, buddy, and come back at them and pounce and lash out again. I was thinking about this week, that if Joseph had access to social media and Facebook back in his day, you would expect that what he's been through and all that he's facing, if he was able to post all about his struggles, he would certainly have put that on Facebook and who's to blame and make his case for everybody to see, because that just seems to be the thing that people do. But that's not what we see here in Joseph at all. No, Joseph is different in prison. And so should we be different in this prison called world. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 and just see the contrast between the people who are in the story here and Joseph. And the first one we see here is verse 1 and 2. Sometime after this, the cupbearer and the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So Pharaoh was quite put out because of his offers. They've done something that's really made him mad. And so the cupbearer and the baker are now thrown into the prison. But what do we see in Joseph? We pick up in verse 3. He put them in custody. So Pharaoh put these two in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them. And notice this, he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. So he attended them. That's the same word that we saw with Joseph over in Potiphar's place. So he attended them. He served them. Joseph is serving the cupbearer and the baker. I mean, when we think about all now that Joseph has been through, remembering that he was the favorite of the sons, now what he has been through, here is Joseph now. He is in the lowest of the low positions. Come on now, right? I mean, hadn't he been through enough already? He'd been thrown in a pit by his brothers. He'd been sold as a slave to Potiphar. He'd been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, now thrown into prison. And now while he's in prison, he's a servant to the other prisoners. I mean, how lower can you go than that? And that's where Joseph is. He's not only a prisoner, he's a servant to the prisoners. And yet, as we look at Joseph, he is the most free. And as we see his life, he is free of animosity. He's free of hatred. He's free of bitterness. He's free of hostility. And so as we think about that and we look at the life of Joseph and what he's doing, you know what he's doing here? He's representing who he belongs to well. And he's representing who he is well to the people who are in the prison. Now understand, as we look at the life of Joseph, he isn't free from mistreatment, and he isn't free from false accusations, and he isn't free from pain, and he isn't free from difficulty, and he isn't even free from being forgotten. But he is a free man. Amen. He is free of animosity. Now where do we see that? Well, we see that in that how he serves these two men. He's serving them, and he's concerned about them. He cares about them. And when someone is like this, it's a person whose heart is different. We see someone here who is caring. We see someone who is compassionate and attending to the needs of other people. Pastor, where do you see that here in this passage? Well, we notice what he says there in verse 7. When we notice that the men were troubled when Joseph came in to serve them that morning, he says, why are you guys so down? What's going on with you that you're so down today? I mean, now, just think about that for a minute. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, we're so familiar with this passage score. We are not surprised by some of the things we read or we just gloss over. But just think about that for a moment. Here is Joseph, who has no right to be there because he's done nothing wrong to be in prison. He was the favorite son of Jacob, who had the robe of many colors, and he was thrown into a pit, and he's gone through all this difficulty. And here he is, of all the people, and now he sees these two guys. He is the lowest of low, but he sees these guys and he cares about them enough to ask them, how are you doing? Why are you so down today? I mean, isn't that amazing to you? Here's a guy who had been wronged as a servant in the low place, but he cares. You see, friends, as we look at the life of Joseph here, he was not so preoccupied with his own troubles that he ignored the troubles of others. Well, where does that come from? That comes from a heart of love. This humble love that Joseph has for others comes, as if you will recall, we learned a couple weeks ago in chapter 39 that the Lord was with him. Remember? As a matter of fact, we go back to chapter 39, just that last verse, and we see in that last verse that we remember that the Lord is the one who gives him what Joseph needs to succeed in prison. So he gives him this heart that he has of care and compassion and concern for others. In verse 23, it says, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. And so it was the Lord who was with Joseph. So the Lord is the one who gave Joseph this heart of love, of care and compassion for these men. You see, friends, as we try to apply that to our own lives today, in the prison of this world, you need to understand, you probably ought to know this, that there are going to be evil people. There are going to be difficult days. There are going to be times of dealing with the brokenness of this world. But as people who are children of God in this prison, beloved, we don't have to act like everyone else in this prison. Amen? We don't have to act like everybody else because we are different. Well, how are we different? I'll tell you how we're different. We are children of God, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the question then for us is, are we representing who we are in Him well? And are we representing Him well as His disciples? But Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know the kinds of people that I have to deal with. Pastor, you just don't know the hassles that I have to endure. Pastor, you just don't know the pain of what has been said about me. And I would say, no, I don't. But I do know Jesus. And I do know Jesus and what he endured. And I do know what Jesus dealt with. And I do know the pain that Jesus suffered. And as I look to Jesus, of all the people who had every right to rain down fire and brimstone, he instead stooped down and washed the feet of his disciples, whom he knew would run and betray and deny him. And do you know what this Jesus says? In Matthew 5:43, he says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Amen. It's a different heart that comes from Jesus. We see it in Joseph. The Lord was with him, gave him a heart of love. He was free of animosity. In Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2, we read these words, this admonition that says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So this love that we as disciples are to be living, this walking in, is described for us as what this love looks like. It's the same love that Christ has for us. And this love that Christ has for us is where he gave sacrificially for us, where he gave his all for us, where he gave himself for us. And that's a love we are to have for the people around us in this prison that we call a world. Amen. To be different and not act like the rest of the prisoners around us. Amen? Amen? Joseph was not free from prison, but he was free in prison. And beloved, as disciples, we too are free in prison. Amen. So we're free from animosity through Christ, but also we see that Joseph was free of anxiety. Notice what we see in these other officers in verses 5 and 6. "One night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, each dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came to them in the morning, and he saw that they were troubled." He saw that they were troubled. The word "trouble" there tells us they were troubled, of course, by their dreams, which means that they were discouraged, they were upset, they were uneasy, they were anxious. And so we don't see that in Joseph here as we look at this passage. Anywhere do we see that Joseph is anxious about his situation? You see, the reason is because Joseph has not lost his faith. He is in prison, but he still believes in a God who is living. He is still in prison, but he believes in a God who is active. He is in prison, but he believes in a God who is powerful. He is in prison, but he believes in a God who is with him and will use him in this situation. And so in verses 7 and 8, we see that he says this. He asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" And they said, "We have had dreams. There's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." And so Joseph here, who believes in the Lord, he knew the dreams and interpretations would come from the Lord, not himself. And so Joseph here, listen now, Joseph's faith was not in what he could do, but in what God was doing. Amen? Joseph's faith was not in his own power, but in God's power. His faith was not in himself, but in the Lord. And because of that, his faith then was not destroyed by his circumstances. His faith was not damaged by what others had done to him. And his faith was not defeated, even though it seemed that evil was being victorious. So like the psalmist David, Joseph would continue to trust the Lord, even in the midst of this prison and the difficult circumstances of life. David says this in Psalm 37, 1 through 5. He says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." I mean, we could just stop right there, couldn't we? I mean, how often are we fretted about the evil that we see in the world? Lord, why aren't you doing something? Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. And watch this, He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will act. So even in prison here, we know that Joseph was looking up. Obviously, David came after Joseph, but the same heart that the Lord gave David to write the psalm is the same heart that Joseph has here, a heart of faith. He's looking to the Lord. He believed the Lord. The cupbearer told him his dream, and Joseph gave the interpretation in verse 13. Notice the interpretation, verse 13. In 3 days, he says, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. So what we see here is that Joseph believed it would happen as the Lord revealed. So where do you see that, Pastor? Well, move on to the next verse. You see, Joseph believed that it was going to happen because he said this, only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house, for I have indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, there, and here also I have done nothing that should put me into the pit. So he's saying to them, look, when this happens, when you are restored back to the Pharaoh, remember me. So Joseph has faith that it's going to happen. He doesn't know the end of the story like we do as we read this, right? Joseph's living this out in present day time, but he believes that as he gives the interpretation of the dream that comes from the Lord, that God's going to answer this. This is what's going to happen. And when it happens, remember me. He had faith in a God who was living. Amen. And so he didn't know the answer, but he knew that the Lord was with him, and he knew that the Lord was working, and he knew that the Lord was powerful, and he knew that the Lord was good, and he knew that the Lord was gracious, and he knew the Lord was merciful, and that the Lord is right. Amen. The question is, friends, do you know that? Do you know that today? Even as we are in the prison of this world and we go through the difficulties of life, do you know that God is good and He is gracious and merciful and He is right? You see, you may not understand what you face today, but do you believe the Lord? Do you believe He's with you? Do you believe He is working? And do you believe He is powerful and that He is good, gracious, merciful, and that He is always, always, always right. Amen. Always. And when we believe that, then we can trust Him. Amen? Amen? We trust Him. Well, Pastor, what about me? Well, I'd say trust Him. Never fail to believe in Him, His work, and His plan. Paul says this in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. That means don't worry about anything. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why is that? So don't be anxious for anything, but pray and bring your requests, let them be known to God. Bring your requests to Him. Why? Because He is God. Amen? We can trust Him. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, but Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You're a pastor. Well, that's easy for Joseph. He's in the Bible. Well, friends, I'd tell you this. It's not about who I am. It's not about who Joseph was. It's not about who you are. It's about who God is. Amen? That's what it's about. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, have you not known? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, that He does not faint or grow weary? That's our God. Amen? His understanding is unsearchable, that he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases the strength. Amen? That's our God. That's who he is. I was reading a story a couple weeks ago. I wanted to share it with you this morning about there was this minister and this young Christian who were on a train together, sharing a compartment on this train together. And the young man who was across from the minister was going through some real trials and difficulties. And the pastor wanted to help him out. And so the minister took out his pocket. Out of his pocket, he took a Bible and a pocket knife. And he said, "Look, now, I want to show you something." He said, "Even though the train is rocking," because, you know, if you've ever been on a train, you know it's not a real smooth ride. But he said, "Even though the train is rocking, I'm going to make this knife stand up straight on the Bible." Well, that young man, thinking that it was a great trick, watched with great interest. He said, "Well, that's not going to be an easy thing to do." And the minister said, "I'm doing it right now." He says, "But you're holding it." The minister said, "Well, of course. Did you ever hear of a pocket knife standing up on its own without being held up?" And the point was this, beloved. In the rocky, bumpy roads of life, trust the Lord because he holds you up. Amen? He holds you up. We don't hold ourselves up. He holds us up. Trust the Lord. So Joseph in this prison, he was not free from prison, but he was free in prison. Free of animosity, free of anxiety, and then thirdly, we see he's free of anguish. Free of anguish. So after the cupbearer's dream is interpreted, the baker hears the interpretation of the dream of the cupbearer, and he thinks, "Well, that's good for him. It's got to be good for me." So he gives Joseph his dream, but it's not a good one. And Joseph tells the baker that he would not be restored to the Pharaoh like the cupbearer, but rather he's going to be executed by the Pharaoh in 3 days. And so as you think about him receiving that news from Joseph, the anguish that he must have felt in his life and his heart, because as he hears this news, he has no hope of being restored. Now, when we think about that in contrast to Joseph, how do we see Joseph free of anguish here? Well, in reality, we don't see anything recorded about Joseph being free of anguish, anguish being hopelessness. But as this section doesn't end, as we said, like we think that it should, that it tells us here in the last verse that the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And then if we move on to the next chapter, which we'll get to next week, the very first few words there, we see that after 2 whole years, Pharaoh then has his dream. So he's going to be in prison for 2 more years. So, man, how do you have hope in the midst of that? That is a great question. And here is the answer. You see, the interpretation of the dreams came to be just as God had given Joseph the interpretation, right? He saw those dreams had come to pass. And so Joseph knows that God will keep his promises. And Joseph had some dreams himself just a couple chapters ago in chapter 37 where he would be lifted up. Remember? And so he has real hope that those dreams that God had given him back in chapter 37 will come to pass. You see, friends, he may have been forgotten by the cupbearer, but Joseph knows he has not been forgotten by God. Amen? Because God always knows where his children are. And do you know how he knows where his children are? Because he's always there with you. Amen? He's always there. So he knows where you are. His plan will come to pass. So what does that tell us? As believers in Jesus, God's always with us. We know we have hope. Amen? We have hope. The promises of God will stand. And they do stand. and we are secure in him. I don't know, Pastor. This old world is wicked, and this old world is mean. I say, I agree with you. It sure is. It's so broken. There are problems, there are struggles everywhere. You're right about that. As I hear this story, I just don't know how I can be free or feel free in the prison of this world. Well, you know, I'd say to you, I'm reminded of the story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26. It's a great story for you to go read sometime, where Paul is speaking before King Agrippa. And if you are familiar with the story, you know that Paul himself has been thrown into jail. He's in prison, and he is there, been arrested on false charges himself, and he's been placed there in prison. But now he is given an opportunity to tell his case, to give his case to King Agrippa. Man, I can just imagine the scene, can't you? King Agrippa comes in, sits on the throne with the queen there and Festus there as well. And Paul is brought in his ratty clothes, and he has chains on as he is a prisoner. And there's a great pomp and ceremony with the king, ceremony with all the king and all the entourage up there. And here's Paul there in his chains. And Paul begins to tell them what has happened as he is making his case. And Paul begins by telling them there in that chapter in Acts 26 how he had been a persecutor of the church and how he had consented even to the death of the followers of Jesus. But then he turns the corner and says, but I'm here to tell you that something happened to me on the Damascus Road, that the one that I had been persecuting, Jesus, appeared to me, the risen Christ. And this, when this happened, it changed me as Jesus changed me from the inside out, and he called me to himself to preach Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. And he did so that people's eyes would be open, and the Bible records, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. And so Paul is preaching this in his chains in front of King Agrippa and all that entourage. And Festus shouts out to Paul, says, Paul, man, you are crazy. And Agrippa says, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And then Paul says this, in his chains, in his garments of prison life, in front of the king and all their pomp and ceremony, he says this, verse 29, I would to God that not only you, but also who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Now, what in the world was Paul saying? Well, that's a good question. Here's what he was saying. Even though I'm here in my chains and you're up there in all of your pomp and ceremony, I'm the only one free in the building. I'm the only one free. Because I have Jesus, and I have hope, and I desire the same for you. That's what he was saying. Paul was in chains, friends, but he was free in prison. He was free from the penalty of sin, and is free from the bondage of sin. Why? Because of Jesus, who had died on the cross for his sin and risen bodily from the grave. So his hope, he had hope because of Jesus. The question is, Do you have hope because of Jesus? While we are in the prison of this world, we are free only in Jesus Christ. For he took the penalty that we deserved, and one day, listen, we will be released from this prison and we are going to go home. Amen? His promises, the promises of God, will stand and we are secure, but we are free. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. The question then is, do you know him? And do you have faith in him? And do you have hope in him? And do you love him? Man, I do. I love the Lord Jesus. And here's why. Because he first loved me. And because he first loved me, he sought me, and he bought me, and he caught me, and he brought me to himself. Amen? And as I live this life of being the disciple of Christ on this rocky road of life, in this prison, he then enables me to love the way he taught us to love. He holds me up. He carries me along. And one day, he will bring me home. Amen? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you have faith in him? Do you have hope in him? Do you love him? Two to-dos, and we're done. Number one, receive the Lord now. If you've never trusted Jesus by faith, receive him now, because he is calling out to you so that you can find your freedom that comes in him, through him, now. He's calling you to himself. We must acknowledge we're sinners in need of a Savior. Turn from that sin, turning to Jesus in repentance, believing, embracing with all of our heart that he is the Son of God who gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary, who rose again bodily from the grave, that he is the Lord, professing him as the Lord and Savior of life, trusting him by faith, receiving the Lord. He calls us to himself. We simply step out and come to him. Receive the Lord now. That's the first to do. If you've already received the Lord as Savior of your life, then here's the second to do. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a believer in the Lord, then represent the Lord well. Amen? Represent the Lord well. As we're in this prison with a whole lot of other prisoners in this world, how are we seen? How are we representing who we are? We're to represent who we belong to and who we are well. Even though we're in a prison of this world, we don't have to act like the rest of the prisoners, nor should we. But we are now free in Christ Jesus, free of animosity. Come on now, amen? Free of animosity, free of anxiety, and free of anguish. We're free in Christ. Now, let's act like it. Amen? Let's act like it. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'd be with us as we come to this time of invitation, that we would commit our lives to you. Lord, if there are those who have never trusted you by faith, that this is the hour, this is the moment of salvation as you call people to yourself, that they would turn to you, that you would enable them even now to say yes to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Father, that for those of us who do know you, who are born again believers, Lord, that we've been challenged by this word, that as we live this life out in this prison we call a world, knowing we're not home yet, help us in the midst of this world to represent you well. God, help us to be witnesses and testimonies to the grace of God as you've taught us that love, you've given us faith, and we have hope. Lord, let us live that out and represent you well to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our fellow students, to the people we come in contact with all the time, whether it's online through social media, whether it's a person-to-person contact, whether it's driving down the road to somebody we don't even know. Lord, help us to represent the Lord well. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this moment, we have our invitation. We're going to stand, we're going to sing together.